Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Avi Bender, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Census Bureau. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Paul Kayada. Avi, what are some of the major challenges and advantages to managing the move to a mobile work environment? How important is it to have the right combination of devices and policies to meet agency needs against the backdrop of evolving technology?
I'll probably answer your question in a non-technical way first. Mobile computing is here. It's a reality. We use it in work every single day. It's really about the opportunity to view mobile computing as a platform for change. We're in the early stages today of VDI. Got about 2,500 people on it. And so far, it has proven to be a tremendous success on many levels, many thanks to our acting director and to Brian McGrath for pushing this forward. So VDI is an important capability that then can use mobile computing to get access to this information. We don't want to issue laptops going forward, given some of the security issues associated with that. With VDI, you can have access to data anytime, anywhere, and from any device without having sensitive data on that device at rest. Another advantage of meeting the demands of a mobile worker is that it begins to shine a light on legacy applications that may not be ready to be virtualized, right? So you can't get access to information anywhere, anytime if you have certain issues in terms of the architecture of applications that just can't be virtualized. That shines a light on those apps, and we need to modernize them and bring them up to speed. It refers back to my point about creating this enabling platform and how mobile computing forces you to really innovate. In terms of the actual mobile devices, we're not married to any one single device. Today we use BlackBerries. Tomorrow we may use something else. We take guidance from the U.S. Department of Commerce. Their CIO has issued guidance with respect to mobile device management. We follow that guidance. We adopt those as standards. And that helps influence our approach and shape. What we really want to have these devices be more of a commodity, if you will, and merely a component, a capability of how you get access to information. We spend a lot of time thinking about devices and all the great possibilities, but I would ask you to think about how organizations such as the UPSs of the world and the FedExes of the world, how they use devices. The device is merely an extension of a business process. It's a means to an end of achieving optimal efficiencies, cost savings, and in their case, it's a competitive advantage. In our case, it's just being able to do our job faster, better, cheaper.
I'd like to switch gears and discuss the Bureau's shared services strategy. What are you doing in the area of shared services? And can you tell us about the strategy and how it may, how the effort involves leveraging cloud solutions?
Okay. First, as a piece of information, there's a really good companion document to the Federal Digital Strategy, which is called the Federal Shared Services Strategy. Both of these documents came out in May of 2012. Shared services plays a very important role in our strategy as it relates to the survey lifecycle. We have three major business units: economic, demographic, the 2020 directorate, as well as research and methodology. But we're a decentralized organization, just by the way we do our surveys. But if you look at the underlying infrastructure requirements and even the business processes, they are, in fact, very similar. We have four primary modes of gathering data that include the internet, telephone, personal interviews with a device, and paper. So our strategy is to reduce the number of duplicative systems for each mode and create a common mixed mode platform to service all of these surveys. These modular capabilities, for example, for workload management, for case management, for operational control in the field, for human resources, will be delivered as integrated services through a private cloud using the SOA approach. I should also mention, from a mission-enabling type service, we also use shared services. To the extent that we can use a core competency of another agency as a shared service, it makes a lot of sense. So we recently adopted something called HR Connect. It's a Treasury-based shared service. We're using WebTA from another agency for timekeeping. These are examples of how we are I would say shutting down some of our own systems, leveraging shared services, and really trying to focus on the core capabilities of what it is that we have. Interestingly enough, the U.S. Census Bureau is very much a large shared services organization. I mentioned before that we do reimbursable surveys in the demographic side. For example, we're going to be doing a survey for HUD, the American Housing Survey, very soon. These are examples of reimbursable surveys, and we get paid a fee to conduct these surveys for other agencies who need the data, but the survey business is not their core competency, and they look to us to leverage our expertise in getting them the data that they need. I think overall for the government, it's a very effective approach to, you know, leverage each other's shared services.
So given the volume of data the Bureau collects and disseminates, it requires serious records management program and a robust enterprise content management strategy. Would you tell us more about the efforts to enhance your records management program, and what are you doing to strengthen enterprise content management function?
I go back in this industry long enough to have actually seen the evolution of the marketing term enterprise content management. So it means different things to different people. Let me just state up front that in my view, enterprise content management is an integrated business and technology strategy for the acquisition, management, and dissemination of all content in all its shapes and forms. I'll give you two specific examples of how we're addressing records management within the construct of the simplification through standards and innovation through shared services. Not too long ago, we had a need for collaboration, knowledge management, wikis, and blogs. Rather than acquiring discrete solutions, we made a decision to acquire SharePoint as an enterprise standard and to use it as an enabling platform for managing our documents and records. This is also now being done in conjunction with a data management system that was then built using the SharePoint platform in conjunction with the Oracle database, which is one of our standards. Together, these capabilities provide a very important technical framework for managing our data. In addition to that, much of our data exists today within Notes, our email system. But all of that technically is insufficient. All of that needs to really be guided by policies and procedures. As you know, if we ever get to a discovery situation and legal issues, it really goes all the way back to the how you've structured your policies and procedures. And for that, we have other groups within the Bureau in terms of privacy that deal and records management to deal with those specific issues. It's a long process to getting this done. I really think that a key accelerator will be our move to the cloud, and that will allow us to finally have many of the files available in the server within the cloud as opposed to individual files on people's desktops. It's a multi-pronged program. We're moving in this direction. It's going to be an evolutionary process.
Would you tell us a little bit about the Center for Applied Technology? What promoted its creation, and what to the extent does it operate as a focal point for bringing entrepreneurial-minded staff, emerging technologies, and pressing business functions facing the Census Bureau?
Well, Paul, this is probably the favorite part of my job. That's the fun part of my job. We took a large empty space that was left over from the last decennial that was frankly used as a storage area, and we have converted that into a world-class innovation center that has become an oasis for innovation. I mean, I knew that we had many talented staff who wanted to try out new technologies. And a personal note, having spent a good portion of my career in private industry as an entrepreneur and building businesses and sales and in marketing and seeing how small companies work, I really wanted to create a fun, fast-paced, collaborative environment where people can come in, leave their cubicles, and do great things together. And I underline the word together. I've just been blown away by the impact and the results of this facility. It has led to the creation of both some of the apps. We're doing work in data analytics and visualization. We're exploring new ways for doing business process modeling and optimizing the way we conduct our surveys. We have work ongoing with seven federal agencies who have come to meet with us. We have external and international delegation who are coming to learn about what we're doing. We have 70 projects on their way. 20 have resulted at some very specific. After they have been incubated, they have come out and are now being operationalized, such as SharePoint, the document system, as the data management systems that I mentioned to you. We're continuing to look at social media and the potential capabilities that that has. Of course, mobile computing is a big part of what's going on in the lab. We recently had a codathon, a really interesting approach of very quickly developing some tools and capabilities and tapping into the staff that we have. The Center for Applied Technology, the CAT, is both a physical space and it is a virtual space. But the intent here is to just get people out of their cubicles, get them together, and have fun. It's been a wonderful success. We see some tremendous opportunities for even scaling it in other ways.
What are you doing to cultivate a risk-tolerant environment that fosters innovation in your bureau as respects technology advancement?
We have very innovative employees. This is not restricted to IT people. We have really smart people throughout the headquarters and in the field. And we need to provide them with an opportunity to actually try things and fail fast in a fast environment. And it's really better to take risk than no risk than having costly mistakes down the road. So I think people need to have an environment where they can take a risk, they can fail fast, but we need to do that in a safe zone. We can't have people taking risk within an operational environment. So the CAT, the Center for Applied Technology, has created this safe zone for people to take the risk. That also comes from leadership. I think leadership has to encourage us to be more of risk takers. We have to be very much entrepreneur-minded. And frankly, we have a number of pockets within the Census Bureau that have done some pretty amazing things with systems already, such as our internet data collection capabilities, our ability to capture paper documents, the work that you are seeing in terms of the web transformation and social media. So we just need to give people the space in which to operate so that they can take the risk. And I think that's very important. It's so far, it seems to be working. We've had a long tradition in doing this, but I would say that Dr. Groves, the past director, together with Tom Messenburg, have really fostered this culture of collaboration and trying things out.
Before we close this segment, I wanted to understand a little bit about agile development. And could you tell us what it is and what are some of the benefits of pursuing such an approach? And has it been done in the Bureau before?
Yes, it is being done in the Bureau as we speak. Agile development is a highly collaborative and iterative process by which you build a system in close coordination with a customer. It's somewhat different from kind of a traditional waterfall approach where you go through a series of requirements development, and then at some point down the road, you actually begin to show the customer something, and then you may find out that it's not actually what they expected. So the agile approach engages with the customer as early as possible. It reduces our time to market. It improves overall customer satisfaction since they become active participants, and expectations are controlled in a much better way. We've employed this approach successfully with the recent rollout of our data management system, with the rollout of the SharePoint capabilities, as well as other smaller systems throughout the Bureau. Agile should not imply quick and dirty. Agile still has to follow a system development lifecycle. I mentioned earlier that we do need to have these risk, financial, technical guardrails supported by the EA. So Agile will still follow that process. But it's really the how. It's the how we engage with the customer that is very much important. You know, frankly, if you look at the way capabilities are being developed today on the web and how some of the major organizations got their start, they didn't follow a very long waterfall process. They just developed quickly. They put stuff out there. Maybe they failed. They made corrections, and then they scaled their business. We simply have to adopt this same approach.
What does the future hold for technology innovation at the U.S. Census Bureau? We will ask its Chief Technology Officer, Avi Bender, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.